Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, June 26, 2012, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-hosts, Lavendar, Sierra, and Anastasia. If you've missed our last few shows, we've been delighted to welcome Anastasia to our radio team since she's been with us since before Starseed Hotline was born. And we've got a lot of great things for you this evening, starting with Lavendar's overview of the Teton meetings, which are coming up next week. They happen twice a year in July and January, with millions of starseeds being involved, whether they're conscious of it or not. Then Anastasia will be starting our new Starseed News segment, bringing current event topics of interest to Starseed, including UFOs and astronomical happenings. Our featured guest this evening is Deborah Graves, who is, in her words, a visionary artist. Also known as Araznu, she creates visionary paintings and messages by opening to divine guidance. These paintings and messages express facets of the ascension process and activate on a subconscious level, bringing about shifts in one's awareness and allowing you to recognize and release blocked energy. The images used with our show tonight are just a few of her works. You can see more on her website, which is Blue Ray Healing. Excuse me, it's BLUERAY healing.com, where you will find a treasure trove of galactic designs, multimedia artwork, and links to more of her services. Again, that website is BlueRayHealing.com. We want to thank Chris for hosting the switchboard this evening, and for those with questions or comments tonight, the call-in number is 917-889-8292, and please remember to press 1 on your keypad so we know you want to come on the air. If you like our show, we encourage you to click follow on our show page, and you'll get our show notices, and it will help promote our show and guests. And then remember to tell a few friends about us. For our new listeners, our main site is starseedhotline.com, where we have a lot of vital information for Starseed in our vault of knowledge. The entire site is coded for Starseed activation, and we have a support forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.ning.com. We'd also like to thank Rose and Sahar for their continuing great work and dedication on behalf of our Starseed Forum. You can also find us on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go. And we'll get started in just a moment, but first I'd like to let you know that if you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. Our Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings in your natal astrological chart. And the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone session available with Lavendar, Anastasia, or myself. And we now offer a Stage 4 support service with Sierra for readings, especially with contactees and abductees. And if you have a birthday coming up, you should know when your 10 hours of power will occur by getting your solar return timing. And please allow 1 to 2 weeks ahead of time to make sure you get your solar return in time. And now I'd like to introduce my co-hosts, Lavendar, Sierra, and Anastasia. Welcome, ladies.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Anastasia.
Hi. Hello.
Hi, Sierra.
Hi. Lavendar, hello.
I'm here and ready to go.
Okay, great. Well, we already have a lot of callers on the line, which is always good to hear. And we are going to start with Lavendar and description about what the Teton meetings are and how they impact starseeds.
Okay, great. Well, I have mentioned this several times on the radio shows over the last couple of years, and I just felt the need to kind of refresh everyone's memory about what they are and what maybe to expect during this time. The meetings usually happen twice a year, January 1 through 7 and July 1 through 7. However, this year, because it being 2012 and so much is happening with so many bloodlines, and so many experiments on the planet. They've started early, and they're gonna last longer. So 144,000 beings will be attending these meetings every 45 minutes for this extended period of time. Ariel, I think, are you still there?
Yes.
What was the mass count that you came up with for how many beings come?
I was just curious because we have been telling people this for a while, and I'm just wondering, okay, so there's 32, 45-minute periods in a day, and if there's 144,000 beings, and by that you mean starseed on the planet that are in attendance, that's 4.6 million a day. And if it's for 7 days, you know, that's like 32 million and something. So that just gives you an indication of how many starseeds are on the planet. And also, this is something that, and Lavendar, if you want to expound on this, the time differential. It's 45 minutes in Earth time, but you have said that is like being on the other dimension for 2 weeks, right?
Yes, it equals 2 weeks.
So you can get a lot of codings and activations and assignments in that time, I imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So tell us, and this is... in the Grand Teton Mountain itself, actually inside the mountain. You want to describe that because you've been there.
Yes, I have. It is the Grand Teton. Inside the mountain, there is this big hollow room. I shouldn't say a room. It's like
a cave?
It's huge. It's like
a cavern?
It's very large. It's I would say like 5 football fields big, and it goes underground. And they have very advanced technology there, very advanced. When you think about technology 3,500 years ahead of us, you can't imagine the kinds of things that they work with to bring people there. We have the big Emerald computer that actually helps materialize those that are coming to the meeting. In other words, if you're laying in bed and you're selected to go, they'll come and take you etherically, your etheric body, and they'll put it in through the Emerald computer, and you will materialize in holographic form where there will be a consciousness that is able to record what takes place. Now, the thing about bringing it back to the body into consciousness sometimes is not permitted. Why? Because then you would not be able to function. You wouldn't be able to feed yourself, bathe, or have conversations. It would just be too hard.
Well, I've experienced that, and
believe you me, I really ask for my shots before I leave.
Okay.
So when you wake up of a morning and you look at your thumbs and you've got little red dots on the top of your thumbs, and then you know that you've been to these meetings. But I want to back up a little bit and just say that these meetings have been going on for a very, very long time, hundreds and hundreds of years. And the group that actually comes, they're different groups at different times, but the main group, the ones that are always the core of the unit, come from the Great White Brotherhood. They're the guardians of the Deva Kingdoms, the Starship Commanders of Intergalactic Federations, Masters, Ascended Masters of the Seven Sacred Cities, the Crystal Brotherhood of the Antares Arcturus Midway Station, members of the Crystal Roundtable of the Starship Bethlehem, and Ascended Masters of all the 7 rays of initiation, and Council members from Northern Shambhala. At the same time as these meetings are taking place in the Tetons, there's also meetings being held in 7 sacred etheric cities, in the Gobi Desert, Lake Titicaca, Shambhala in Tibet, Palenque in Yucatan, and Lords of France and Glastonbury in England. And a new sacred site has been established over the mountains of Sierra Blanca at the Apache Mescalera Indian Reservation in New Mexico. So this is quite a happening that's taking place and does take place twice a year. But because we are in the final days of 2012 and the experiments that will be coming to a close, the new ones will be starting. A lot has to be finished up in a lot of areas, such as the environment, making sure that the atomic power is stabilized on the planet. Also, the new technologies that have risen up on the planet have created some disturbances, like HARP and cell phone towers and things that are actually harming not only the people, but they're affecting some of the crystal grid and ley lines on the planet. So there's many discussions and many things taking place to balance out and making sure that there's not too much of an upheaval concerning these electronic devices or these new technologies that are being put on the planet. Nanotechnology will be discussed at great lengths with every segment. People will start understanding and knowing more about the nanotechnologies and how they've been placed in the bloodlines throughout the years, through centuries, and how they're being able to be tracked that way. In other words, during the times of Atlantis, they were given shots with nanotechnology, and these nanotechnology crystals in the blood have been tracked all this time, especially for the times that we're living now. Why? Because technology has gone past the consciousness of some of the people on the planet, and that was a fail-safe system, and that will be discussed at length. And some of the safeguards will be that some implants will be taken out and others will be put in, and adjustments to bloodlines will be made. This is a very advanced genetic type of work. A lot of clone operations will take place. In other words, a lot of beings will be cloned, and that is for several reasons. Population sometimes of other planets, but mostly if for some reason you make an unwise decision and be on an earthquake vault or some place where large groups of people are fixing to leave the planet, in an instant you'll be transferred to your clone and you'll be placed back down in another location. And that's been planned for a very long time. I've been seeing the clone operation going on, I guess, ever since 1980. So those are some of the things that will be taking place. The 33 gem PowerPoints, of course, is always a subject. There are 33 places on the planet that will be holding the flashpoints of energies for the ships that come and go. And the guardians that will be at these 33 gem PowerPoints will be boosted up. I would say that it's upgrade everywhere. Everything is about an upgrade. The walk-ins that are on the planet now, they're getting upgrades. The people that have indigo and crystal children, they get upgrades. Everything is getting upgrades. Everything is a step up. Everything that has to do with the evolution of the planet and its people, it's all a step up. So, Ario, would you like to ask me any questions about this period of time?
Well, yes. Number one, I think it's probably obvious from what you've said already, but these meetings are held for the benefit of the civilization and the planet.
Yes.
And it's almost like gardeners tending the garden and pulling the weeds and making sure that things grow strong. And it's always up spiral for the benefit of the planet and the people. These are beings of the highest order. As you said, thousands of years ahead of us in technology. I mean, this is even beyond what they do on Star Trek. And we've had a lot of, in the past, Starseed have some activations right after these meetings. So would you speak a little bit about, as you said, that you can be in bed sleeping, and they come and take your etheric body. You go there. It's almost like a not really a class, but where you're given upgrades, resets, new assignments or agenda, and then you're transported back. Now, a lot of people have no memory of this, but that does not alter the fact that it happened.
That's true.
And you may have dreams about something like that and just wake up thinking, wow, what a dream.
That's true. It comes in many different ways. I've had people actually say, oh, I remember some of it. Other people go, oh, I changed my life right after the Teton meetings dramatically. I mean, there's a lot of people move. A lot of people wake up and go, you know what, I can't live here anymore. I'm going to pack up and move. There's a lot of migration that happens after these meetings. It would be interesting to see if you could track the sale of houses and people, you know, the migration of people within a short period of time right after these meetings. I think that would be very interesting to, you know, and we could probably find that information out some way, somehow.
Well, yeah, if we had time.
Was it last year or the year before, we had, what, two or three people that were up there and were at the foot of the mountain, and they got to meet some beings. I can't remember now what did happen.
Yeah, that's right. A couple of our Starseed community went to the Tetons during that time, knowing what you had taught them about that, and they were actually met by guardians, and they had to pass some kind of a consciousness test before they were allowed to proceed.
Right.
And it was a very firsthand account of what goes on there. And even if someone were aware that that was going on, if you are not of the consciousness level, or if it's not your time to be there, there's just no way you're getting in. They have total control over the every element of these gatherings. And I know that you said a lot of times people will meet each other after
yes.
they've been there, and they'll actually recognize each other.
That's true, yes. Soul groups, a lot of soul groups are coming together that way. You know, a lot of soul groups are coming together. And then when they meet in the flesh or over the Internet or through the phone, they'll go, oh, I think I know you. I mean, that happens quite a bit. Also, in the past year, I had a client that is a forest ranger, and she's had the job for 18 years, and the only job she has is to guard the Grand Teton. That's her job. And she is a starseed and a light worker, and I want to give her a shout-out right now. So heads up, girl. Things are coming.
At one time, when you were naming the roster of the advanced beings, you had mentioned Saint Germain.
Yes, they have different hosts in different years. The year that I actually got to go inside the mountain was in 1986, and it was the date for me was July 4th when I was taken in physically. And Saint Germain was the host. They all take turns being, you know, conducting the meetings, and Saint Germain was one, and he's been there several times since then doing the same job, but they turn it over to different avatars. The different avatars come now and have for the last 19 years or so. They're really, really prevalent from different planets, from different places. We had some come in from Lyra. You know, Lyra is the really scientific planet that actually populated the Pleiades. And they're the ones that really put together genetic experiments for the Pleiades. And the Pleiades then, of course, turned around and came to Atlantis. So we had some clear back from the Lyrian civilization. And those are the beings that live, you know, 1,000 years, and never age, and their heads are huge, you know, and they are like walking computers. So we've had them come, and I imagine that we'll have more of them at these meetings. Why? It's 2012. Everything is an upgrade everywhere, from, you know, from molecular structures to everything. Every cellular memory on the planet is being cataloged. You can't imagine how they take readings. I mean, it's just amazing. The people that have implants in their bodies, they'll come along with a ship over your community, and they'll dial a certain frequency. And if you have an implant in your body, then they get the readout from your implant in your body. And it's like swiping a credit card across a community, and they're able just to pick it all up within seconds. It's hard
right,
to imagine, but that's how they do it.
And that's what's basically, taking stock of everything that's going on, so they can see where we need help, where we need guidance. Things that, okay, this is working, so we leave that one alone, and these over here need to be upgraded or cleaned up or whatever. But I want everybody to understand that this is all done with complete benevolence and respect for who we are, because we're basically, their children.
Absolutely.
You know, and they're caring for us as such, and sometimes, sometimes they know what's good for us when we don't. But
they do all this without emotion. There's no emotion attached to any of this, which is sometimes hard for a lot of, spiritual teachers on the planet and spiritual beings in the New Age network to understand that they're not emotionally based.
They don't
function on the same kind of system that we do. However,
right,
they have to take that into account, and that's why everybody gets their shots. Because it would be too hard for people to function with this kind of experience to bring it back and try to put it in an emotional form. It would just shatter. It'd be cruel, is what it would be.
So, and just to put it in other words, emotion as we know it.
As we know it.
Yeah, and the emotion as they know it is of such a high frequency that they do love, but it's on a higher order that we can't even imagine. So
it's a high cosmic creative love.
And aren't also the Arcturans very scientific, mathematic, advanced, some of the most advanced technologies in the galactic realms?
Yes, the Antares Arcturus Midway Station really houses, I guess, probably most of the scientific, the ships that come and go from the Antares Arcturus Midway Station are so designed to handle technology aspects of the evolution of the planet. They track the mathematical sequences of bloodlines and the connections of how bloodlines work, and they're very
cerebral.
What's the word I'm looking for here?
Cerebral.
Very Spock.
Yeah, cerebral, intellectual, pure intellect. Yeah, like Mr. Spock.
Yeah.
I just love the Star Trek references. Because, as you know, I mean, Star Trek is truer than anyone ever imagined in the beginning.
Well, they allowed it. Actually, they allowed that information to go to the writers of Star Trek and Gene Roddenberry. There were several people on the planet that they were planted here to do exactly that, including Jules Verne. So it's like all that was planned ahead of time. Rod Serling, all of it.
Right, so the concept of getting beamed up is now part of our pop culture.
From
Star
true.
Trek. But to imagine that in the mid-60s, It's always easier to couch things in fantasy, fiction, entertainment, to kind of let people try things on for size and imagination.
Right.
Yeah, so they really do have a good grip on the plan and how to execute the highest possible spin for planet Earth. And in some senses, protecting us from ourselves.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, one time when I was actually beamed up out of my bed, the man that I was with at the time, when I came back, he was sitting in a chair. And his eyes were wide, and he was, you know, grabbing a hold of the chair. And I woke up, and I thought, you know, I thought, well, time to get up and go to the bathroom. And I looked at him, and I said, what in the world's wrong with you? He says, you've been gone 45 minutes. And I just saw them beam you back down, and they allowed me to see it. And he said, I'll never get over this. I will never get over this.
Well, I'm
you know
sure
what? They did it to sober him up.
Oh, really?
Because I was trying to get him to stop drinking. And this did. This completely.
Talking about your high-impact detox
it.
Right there.
I want to drink. Him, it stopped him from drinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
that
I know that
crazy in, time.
As you said in was it 1986 when you were physically completely physically taken into
the
meeting.
Yes.
And you were the scribe at that time that like
yes,
kept
they
the
allowed
the...
me they allowed me to write and take notes and to write up the report. I'll never forget one of the most stupid things I ever said when I went inside was, well, where's Dan Rather and the cameras? And, of course, that was frowned upon. So,
well, they know you well enough to understand that. But since
right.
then, I mean, since then, you still go every single meeting. You're
yeah,
still,
but I'm, sometimes I go physically, sometimes I go etherically. It depends on what is needed of me at the time. And, sometimes there has to be brain adjustments happened. You know, since my lightning strikes, I'm put together a little differently, and that always has to be taken in consideration at these meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what would be your best advice? Because I know that there's a lot of curiosity among starseeds and probably a lot of imaginings of excitement and to go and be part of this. Number one, I would say that you are going to be part of it, whether you remember it or not, because, you know, 4.6 million people a day for 7 days, everybody's going.
And they come from all over the world. It isn't just the United States.
Oh, of course. Of course, it's global.
Yeah. I can say this, that if you've had a session with me or if you've connected to the radio show, and then they've got you on the beam.
Undoubtedly. Undoubtedly.
Yeah.
But your advice to people who are wanting to experience this and remember it is you're better off if you don't.
Well, you know what? It's going to happen whether they believe it or not. Some will be allowed to remember certain things. The thing that I always notice after these meetings is that your consciousness switches and changes to you're more more awake. Even when you watch TV or you hear somebody talk or you're processing information about something. There's something that's always pushing you forward to find out more about the subject matter, whatever it is. Some people turn into, you know, what's the term? Information junkies. They just can't get enough information after they come back from, they get on their computers and they just start tracking this and tracking that and whether it's archaeology or astrology or, you know, whatever subject matter has, you know, they've come back with, they just start researching it. And on the internet now, you can just find anything. Used to, when we didn't have the internet, people would go to libraries and, you know, just start looking up stuff. But now, it's a click of a mouse. Everything's quicker, faster. The transfer of energies and the way people are connected now. The mass consciousness that happens. You know, they do mass consciousness readings on this planet all the time. They can tell when, just by the mass consciousness, about certain things that are about to happen before they happen because of the mass consciousness readouts.
Well, it's a very complex and intricate endeavor, and I'm glad that you have given us this information. And you said it's already started. Normally they wait till the 1st of July, but they're coming in early now.
Yeah, they started about last week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
I've already woken up 3 times with dots on my thumbs.
And that's a really good indication there.
It is.
And so everyone, you know, pay attention to what you think might be dreams, and just know that you are part of a grand, grand community beyond the third dimension. And for as many of us as there are, we all have beings that are watching over us. So... go forward with enthusiasm and confidence.
I would also like to say that everybody needs to drink a lot of water during these times, more than usual.
Okay.
Because the energies that take place during this time kind of deplete the body, the physical body, of water.
Okay. So drink extra water, and probably wouldn't hurt to take a little extra silica.
Yeah, extra silica, extra water during these periods of time. Yeah. A lot of watermelon, a lot of oatmeal.
Yeah, I don't know if we can eat enough watermelon or oatmeal to get what we need, but that's all good sources.
Yeah.
So, well, Lavendar, I want to thank you so much for... giving us this information about the Teton meetings. As you said, we have talked about this before in prior shows, but we have our archives are so large that people might have missed it. So it's always good to keep it fresh, especially for the new listeners.
Right. Okay.
All righty. Well, we are going to go next to Anastasia with our Starseed News segment, which is a new feature that we're starting. So, Anastasia, hello this evening.
Hello, good evening, everybody. It's great to be with you, and I wanted to say to Lavendar, thank you so much for sharing that really exciting information with all of us tonight, and it just got me so high. I just was going higher and higher listening to you, Lavendar, and it's sort of ties in with what I want to talk about tonight in my news segment. There's about 4 things I want to cover quickly, and then I want to end, I guess I don't want to give it away just yet, but yeah, I guess I will. We're going to talk about some galactic ship sightings in New York City, but I wanted to start out the segment tonight by, Lavendar, what you said about the new sacred site in New Mexico raised the hair on the back of my neck, because there have been recent UFO sightings in New Mexico since the 1st of June. Yeah, they're coming in hot and heavy from Huntington Beach, California, and New Mexico. And people are reporting that these are red orbs about the half the size of a dime held at arm's length. So I thought that was interesting, since you mentioned that there was a new sacred site in New Mexico, and then I had this news piece about sightings in New Mexico. And I want to say to our listeners that I would appreciate hearing from you, your sightings, any recent sightings that you have, particularly now anyone in Huntington Beach in New Mexico that might have seen these red orbs. I'd like to hear from you, and you can write to me about any of your stories or reports of strangeness or things that we talk about on this program, you can email me at anastasia@starseedhotline.com. So I just wanted to put that out there. But don't you two think that, you three think that's real interesting that there are sightings now in New Mexico coming up at a time when we have a new sacred site there?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That tells the story.
It does, doesn't it? It does. And it also calls to mind, I wanted to talk about the etheric nature of our UFO and consciousness experiences, because as Lavendar was talking about the amazing, really spiritual technology, I use technology with quotes, because this is we're into the quantum area when we talk about what these ascended masters and beings have in order to transport us out of our bodies. This is really spiritual technology when it gets right down to it. And it takes into our next story for tonight, because I wanted to talk about a Thunderbird sighting. I had had one in 1999, and there one story has recently crossed the internet lately about a man who came forward to admit that he was present and saw the Thunderbirds when a child was abducted back in 1977. And it's very interesting to talk about briefly, because I feel like it's strongly connected to what the planet is going through right now. You know, lots of strange happenings everywhere because the veil is beginning to fracture. As the frequency rises, people are becoming more aware of alternate realities and spiritual etheric realities, which are just as real as this one. And that is the nature of the Teton meetings in many cases. So for those that are listening that might be going, wow, you know, that seems way out there. It's only because the concrete mind, the linear mind, is not adapted to the concept that the range of our eyesight is so limited. What we can see, the range of visible light is so tiny in the spectrum compared to actual reality and what is there. And in the Native American and shamanic traditions, the Thunderbird is a very important being, capable of transmuting. It is connected to the creator god, the Wonkatonka. And when we have these kinds of experiences where we see beings, images, creatures, entities, and highly spiritual beings that our logical mind can't explain, it doesn't mean that it's not so. It's just that we're shifting frequencies slightly, and we're going to see more and more of this, where people are seeing things that don't make sense to the 3D reality but are very real nevertheless. And so I wanted to just share a brief experience I had in 1999 with this Thunderbird being. I was with three other people, and we were living in southern Utah out under the beautiful night sky. Any of you familiar with southern Utah knows how beautiful the summer skies are there at night, and this was in the month of July, so we're coming right up on that anniversary. And we saw a ribbon of light coming to us from the sky, transparent, a beautiful gold color. Could see the stars through it. It was very large, at arm's length, probably about 4 to 5 inches long. And as it approached, it sort of floated like a beautiful ribbon coming toward us from the distant sky. And as it approached, it became obvious that it was a bird. And the movements of its wings, its head, its flight pattern was just the most, our jaws dropped. We just were astonished at what we were seeing. And when I read this recent piece about the Thunderbird sighting that happened in 1977 and the recent witness that came forward to corroborate that after all these years, it reminded me of my experience. And as I began to connect the dots, realizing that the Native Americans claim that the Thunderbird is not only a physical being, but perhaps even more so a spiritual being, an other-dimensional being. And so when we talk about our interactions with our space family, with the Ascended Masters and the higher beings who are overseeing this planet and who love us very much, yes, not in an emotional way, but in a cosmic way, we are talking about a reality that we all need to begin to tune into through our personal practices of spiritual meditation, connecting work. Diet is very important. I'm glad that Lavendar mentioned oatmeal and watermelon, because not only does that contain silica, but the more natural food we can eat, the higher our energy is going to go. So this is something that's in the news, and it's a sort of a recycle of what happened to me in 1999. And the article about the boy that was actually abducted by the Thunderbird, he was actually picked up into the air. He was 10 years old, carried away and dropped. He survived this, but there were witnesses to this, and it actually made a newspaper article. The article is in the on the internet. It was a UPI article. But as that plays out in our contemporary lives, we are seeing that the Earth, our mother, as along with higher consciousness, is calling us to be more in tune with the Earth. And as the Native Americans say, the further we get away from the Earth Mother, the more she is going to be calling to us and trying to get our attention and bring us back into balance. And the symbol of the Thunderbird is a red zigzag, and that's a lightning bolt design. And, of course, the Thunderbird is that is the lightning god. It is said by the Native Americans that lightning flashes from its beak, and the beating of its wings creates the thunder. And that represents duality. So the metaphysics of this is, and the message of this is, as we think about the Thunderbird, is that we do exist in duality, and we must transcend that and connect with the all that is, with the Earth Mother, becoming more harmonious in our connections, both spiritually and in the 3D world of plugging into the planet, plugging into natural energies. And what was so common for our ancestors to be connected to the planet, to the mother, is now so foreign for most of us that as we're getting ready to go through this big shift, we all really have to connect with the earth and take time in nature and be mindful of what we put into our bodies. And this is how we're going to transcend and step out of so much of that polarity that so many of us are being pulled into on the down spiral, as you call it, Ariel. So that's a story about Thunderbirds that I picked up off the internet, and I just wanted to add a few observations to that. And I also want to ask our listeners to let me know if they, like some of my other clients, are experiencing heavy fatigue or being out of sorts during daylight hours, but that this is ameliorating or getting better at dark time. I want to know if anyone out there is having similar experiences, because a number of my clients have been reporting in the last few weeks being particularly exhausted during the daylight. And I'm wondering if that has anything to do with the solar activity, perhaps electromagnetic influences. Do either any of you have any opinion on that? Have you heard of anything going on that way with...
That happens to me all the time.
And you feel better after the sun goes down, Ariel?
Once the sun goes down, I'm all raring to go, and then I have to try to make myself go to sleep so that I can deal with the third dimension. But that could be... I mean, I've always been a night person, so it could be kind of related to that. But absolutely, I'm sure there are a lot of people experiencing that. And
I would be really, really interested to hear from them, because this seems to be a fairly recent phenomenon. Lavendar, have you heard anything like that?
Well, yes. You know, some of us that are playing human by day, ET by night, when we come back, you know, sometimes it takes us a little while just to you know, get the rhythm of what we're supposed to be doing that day. And sometimes we're a little groggy, or maybe we're a little angry, or mm-hmm. or our senses are so sharp that we, you know, can't stand noise, or
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
or things that are so mundane that
mm-hmm.
just, you know, hack us at some level.
And it may be connected to just all of that energy going out there in the daytime, with people up and moving.
We have mm-hmm. to deal with, you know, the cell phone towers and HARP and, you know, things that are always being bombarded on our beingness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And at night, it, you know, that calms down for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sure has. Go ahead. Sorry.
The 8-to-5 world goes home, and a lot of the thought forms go to sleep. I mean, they've gone to sleep. The computers, they turn them off. So there's a reduction. You know, after dinner time, and the rest of the world is kind of shutting down for the evening, then there's a reduction in all that interference, which allows us to become more buoyant and more energy and all that. But I do want to interject here, though. If you have a feeling of either depression or anger or fatigue, or and you cannot find any reason for it, just know that it's not necessarily internally based, that it could be the result of external, electromagnetic radiation or frequencies of some kind. So don't always, blame yourself, because sometimes it's just not. You're just reacting to something because we are more sensitive.
Well, that's absolutely right, and that's why I brought that up. And I think that for some reason it seems to be just coming to my attention in the last few weeks. So I was wondering if there was some increased interference going on, or what might be precipitating that. And I just kind of wanted to keep an eye on it and ask the starseed to just observe and let me know if they have any particular experiences or, that correlates with this, because I'm sort of tracking that at the moment to see. I think it's indicative, certainly, of increased energies and bigger flux, a lot of flux going on. So just wanted to ask for input on that and to report that to you. And I want to let everyone know that there is going to be a Sunrise Sky show in the early weeks of July, because Venus and Jupiter are going to be converging in the morning. So people want to get up about dawn and look east. It's going to be a lovely way to start the day, and that is certainly in alignment with all of the other wonderful spectacles we've seen in the sky this year. So it's been a magnificent year for that. All right, so I want to tell everyone about a fascinating thing that came to my attention, and it actually has been on the Internet, about galactic ships that were spotted over New York City on June 23rd and June 24th. And even though this was a day, or one of the days anyway, reportedly they were having fireworks over the city, these are not fireworks. I'm going to give you the YouTube site where you can go and find this. So if you have a pencil and a piece of paper, just grab it. And it's at YouTube, of course, http://www.youtube/5p=paul, D=David, Z=zebra, R=Robert, E=S=Y. And that is a wonderful video of this fantastic assortment of ships that are shown over the harbor. And one of them looks like a cylinder with red lights and dots on it. It's amazing. There's no way that's fireworks, and there's no way that's an airplane. And alongside of it are multiple other craft. And one of them appears to show a bright object that is pulling water out of the bay. And according to Sheldon Neidel, this is what he says about it, and I'm going to quote him. He says, "The first ship is an atmospheric Pleiadian mothership. Its purpose is to monitor the atmosphere for that sector of Earth. It houses 47 smaller scout ships and drones. During the last minute of the video, you can see one of the atmospheric Pleiadian scout ships. Also, around 5 minutes and 57 seconds, you will see a Sirian sphere, and they were monitoring the fault line and cleaning the pollution." So that's what Sheldon Neidel had to say about that. But all of you, I hope that you can get onto YouTube and look at that, because that is an amazing capture. And this, by the way, was on the New York City webcam. So this was taken from that New York City webcam. I understand it was not a private video camera. So that makes it all the more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, if you just, I know that was a long URL to, if people didn't have a piece of paper, but if you just go to YouTube and put in UFOs,
New York City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that, you'll probably come up with it, and maybe several. So, do check that out. It'll be interesting. I'm going to.
Yes. Thank you for shortening that up for me. Yes, I should have taken that. So anyway, that's about it for tonight. I've taken enough time, but that covers our news for the week.
Well, thank you so much, Anastasia. And once again, Anastasia's email is anastasia@starseedhotline.com. So if you have any news to report or comments to make or observations, personal or otherwise, please contact Anastasia because she is tracking that. And we are going to be introducing our featured guest here in just a few minutes, but we do have some a caller or two with questions particularly for Lavendar and the Teton, so I just wanted to maybe pick up on that before we move on. So Deborah Graves will be up in just a few minutes. So we are going to talk to Debbie here, and she's got a question for Lavendar. Debbie, you're on the air.
Hello, ladies.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
Good.
I had a question. Lavendar, you had done my long reading back in April, and you had just done my friend Carol's on Thursday, and if it was Friday afternoon when I noticed, I was working on a client and noticed a very clear pinprick on my right thumb. And I didn't know, does it show up on both thumbs? Is it just one thumb? And I wasn't sure where it was so early, if that would be accurate, but you just had said that it can happen earlier.
Yes, they've been happening, yeah. So, yeah. So if you have dots on your thumbs, that means you probably were probably in the first group.
Okay, and would it look like a little pinprick?
Yeah, it's like a little pinprick.
Okay, and it could just be one thumb then?
It could be one or both.
Okay. And I've noticed, like, I've been jittery, like almost like if you, I don't really take any caffeine, but it's kind of that feeling if you had too much caffeine in your system where your heart's kind of racing and you feel a little jittery. And I've probably had that since Friday also.
Well, and that would account for the acceleration of a, you know, of a step up. You know, when you step up a frequency, it
mm-hmm.
takes a little while for everything to settle down.
Okay. Yeah, and I've been running kind of hot. So I just wondered if that was part of it. And yeah, interesting. Okay, well, I just wanted to clarify that with you. And I'm confused on etherically versus physically. Would they have, is that a, it means that I've been there physically or etherically, if you have the little thumb thing?
Well, it, sometimes it's both. Sometimes it's just etheric. You know, when they take your etheric and bring you back to make sure that you don't remember, they physically give you a shot.
Okay, so they can physically do that to your etheric body.
Well, they'll do it to your physical body, and that
okay.
That will erase the memory of the etheric.
I gotcha. Okay.
Well, you girls take it easy in Tennessee, okay?
Thank you. We will. Bye-bye.
Hey.
Okay. Thanks, Debbie. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. We have one more caller, and I think this is, let's see, we're going to bring on here in just a second. We're going to talk to Barbara. And Barbara, you have a comment for Lavendar. You're on the air.
Yes, I do. A wonderful, wonderful greeting to all of you. I'm the one that lives at the base of the Grand Tetons. And I'm standing here looking at the mountains. The sky is brilliant blue, and there's a whole different feel in the air. I've been in Yellowstone the last 5 days working with the geyser energy, and wanted to give my gratitude to all of my star family.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you so much for doing what you do.
It is an honor and a privilege. Thank you.
So, Lavendar, is Barbara the one that you were talking about earlier?
Yes, she is.
Barbara, did you have any idea that we were, or was this just coincidence?
Oh, well, you know how the big family works.
Yeah. Well, I was just wondering if your ears were burning because Lavendar was talking about you in the beginning part of the show.
It is
well, that's,
just...
that's great. And so have you noticed extra activity energetically or visually?
Yes, I had done a trip up to Yellowstone National Park for solstice to work with the energy there, specifically with the geysers and clearing some of the blockage. And interesting enough, there are some geysers that went off that haven't been, they have not erupted for like 2 decades.
Whoa.
So the beams, you know, I was doing a lot of bridge work. And, yeah, it is beyond words here. Yum.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we are so glad that you are on it. You are fully operational, and we're very grateful for the work that you do.
I am. It's an honor, a privilege, and thank you. And I won't take more of your time, but I'll beam it all back to you.
Okay.
Much love.
And Barbara, one of these days, I'm going to be coming up there just to see you. I just want to meet the keeper of the guardian of the Grand Tetons. I just want to do that.
It will be a pure delight, and anyone else that wants to come this way will walk the land.
Okay, we'll do it.
Okay, and much love.
Okay, thanks.
Okay,
thank
bye
you so
now.
Much, Barbara. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well,
okay.
That was a surprise.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's why I was wondering if she knew that we were going to be talking about the Tetons, and she just called in, I guess. Well,
she probably got the announcement that I was going to mention it, probably.
Well, that's still coincidental, to say the least.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have Deborah Graves with us, and she is our featured guest this evening, so we are going to bring her on here. And, Lavendar, you're going to kick off this introduction here?
Yes, I'm
Hello?
Going to... let's bring her on so that we can talk
okay.
about what she's doing.
Okay. Deborah, you are on the air. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, it's our pleasure. And Deborah, I love the way you spell your name, Deb-Aurah. I love that.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a visionary artist. I create inspirational media using paintings, poetry, videos. I enjoy creativity and utilizing it to inspire others.
Okay. Can you explain a little bit more about how this came about for you?
It was a pretty amazing thing, actually. In 2004, I was doing regular paintings, nature, animals, anything like that. Anything that was around me inspired me. And then in 2008, curiously enough, just after January 2008, I had these images coming to me for a new painting. It was incredible, these huge eyes and these wings. I set about painting this image and still wasn't sure what it was when I was finished. I've had several paintings that year that came through, looking at them and trying to understand what it was I was painting. Then realized that it was all to do with the awakening of the star seeds and earth angels, as I want to call them at the time. It was a pretty incredible experience, and I have enjoyed every moment of it.
So what you do now is when you have a client, does an image come to you to paint it for them? How does that work? Do you hear their voice and get back to them and mm-hmm. paint it and then talk to them? How does that work for you?
How that evolved was I was trying to paint an image. This one day, I was seeing this sacred geometry and these images coming to me. I was trying to paint. I couldn't get it down fast enough. These images were coming to me. So then I took to the computer and started playing around in the software program and started creating these images, not knowing what they were, knowing they were important and that I was to find out what they did for people. Took these images to a meeting of like minds and just handed them out and said, if anybody'd like to tell me what they're getting. Each person that had pulled one of the cards that I called them that evening came up with different areas that the cards were affecting them in their physicality. The one gentleman shared something that had happened to him when he was a child that he'd not shared with anybody else. And I recognized then, after sitting and talking to these people, each person described a certain area of their body that these were activation cards, and they brought about releases within the person on a subconscious level. Continuing from there, I now can tune into a person's frequency. They contact me by the email or by phone, and I can tune into their very vibration. I create these images specifically for them with color frequencies, sacred geometry, fractals, and the intended healings, activations, and alignments are all in the image.
I know you created one for me called Phoenix Rising. It was just breathtaking. I just loved it. And you know what? That's exactly how I have been feeling for the last few years with me bringing this information out of the vault, is the Phoenix is rising out of the ashes. Yeah. So it's like, wow, that really hit me.
Like I said to you, I wasn't sure what this was. It wasn't like any of my other paintings, but this was specifically something for you, and they just said, she'll understand.
Yeah, I did. I really got it. And anyway, I just was very, very appreciative of you sending it to me. What is it that you do with wood carving?
I make wands with carved wood and crystals, and I also make staffs.
Oh, okay. Can people order those off your website?
I haven't got my website yet, but that is the next step. It's looking into how to how to safely get them to the people without them being shattered.
Okay. You mentioned that you're an energy healer. What kind of healing modality do you utilize?
It started out as Zenith Omega, which is a Pleiadian healing modality brought in by a gentleman that had a walking experience. I enjoy taking the Zenith Omega courses. I took four levels, and then I was debating whether or not to take the teaching level, and I'm sitting meditating one morning, and I got not necessary. To which I was a little confused. I'm thinking, well, I've taken these four levels, now what do you mean this is not necessary? He said, not necessary. You will continue to build your own modality. And this is how now I have a direct connection in to be able to read people's energies and create these images for them. These images, people can work with them for anywhere from 3 to 5 weeks, depending on how quickly you can move through energies. Some people have utilized the images even longer and had tremendous shifts in their understanding, in their frequencies.
So did you create some cards, like tarot cards or something, with these images on them?
I've created one deck already. The new deck that I'm trying to get together has all of these images, and they are very, very strong activations, attunements, and alignments. Now, if anybody would like to take a look at some of these images, they are on a video that I have on my YouTube channel, which is YouTube/Hands of Angels.
And that's
Say that one again, so they know how to get to
angels.
It.
Hands of Angels, all one word, yeah.
Okay. Great. I understand that you've written some books. Can you go into more detail about some of the children's inspirational stories and videos that you've created?
Well, the children's stories started off with a story called Dylan's Roots. it was actually about a little boy who, he is a physical little boy with attention deficit disorder, sitting, talking to him, whispering in his ear, trying to express to him how he could calm down. I had him imagine that he had these little roots growing from his feet, and these roots were going to go down through the earth. And then I was telling him about the bugs and worms that he was going to find, and he was going to work his way down to the core of Earth Mother and connect to her crystalline core. This story struck quite a few people. I made it into a video, which I've done the actual diagrams, the pictures, and the narration myself. Excuse me. many children have enjoyed this. The next story was Dylan's adventures to the Crystal City when he interacts with Mother Earth and asks her what she's going to do with his extra energy. And that's how the story goes, from what Mother Earth can do with his energy, what Mother can do with his classroom's energy, what Mother could do with his children from his whole country, and then to the whole world.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Is this in book form or is it just on video?
It's just on video.
Okay. Are you planning on making it a book?
Yes, I am.
Okay. The libraries need that, you know, for the kids.
Well, this would be something wonderful for children today who are so disconnected from the earth.
Especially dyslexic children like me.
Well, dyslexic and the ones that are being dubbed attention deficits. If I was going through the system now, that would have been a description for myself as I went through school. She's not paying attention. She's always doing something else. I was listening to what was being told to me. I was just not staring at the teacher like you're supposed to. I had lots of energy. I used to burn it off running through the woods, which was my connection to Mother.
Yeah. When did you first realize that you were starseed?
Oh, the actual, the term starseed, I would say would have to be 10 years ago. And once I connected with the word starseed, it made sense to everything that had happened all through my childhood and all through my life as to different things that had happened, why they'd happened, my understandings of Earth Mother, when to plant things, seasons, being able to witch water. There were so many things that I can do that once I found that phrase, starseed, it made so much sense to me and I understood.
Well, you know, a lot of starseeds came in at different times and the activations. You know, there's the first wave, the second wave, the third wave, and then we've got this new, then we have new waves that are coming in right now, and we're going to have more that happen after 2012. So I'm really looking forward to the children's inspirational stories that you're going to be coming up with, because those are the kids that will really need the kinds of things that you're going to create for them.
Yes, I'm really enjoying doing the stories. I am looking forward to getting them being published.
There is this name that I'm looking at, Araznu. How do you pronounce that?
Araznu.
When did this name come to you, and what is it?
Araznu is a name that came to me whilst I was meditating one morning. I was asking about who I was. It's a question that a lot of people come to after they figure out that they're not actually from Earth. What I got was, my name is Deb Graves. I am Araznu of the One. I linked in with that, and Araznu, apparently, this energy that is part of me, is a Blu-ray master.
Well, I know when I did your chart that I noticed the masterships that you've had in former lifetimes. And I think a lot of those just started accumulating and stepping forward. Don't you think they did that?
Oh, definitely. I've had so many energies stepping into my physicality whilst doing sessions on my clients. It's like I can feel them approaching. I get tingled from head to toe. And it's like a part of me stepping back in. But I also have other energies coming to me and working through me. I am just a channel for these energies, and it has been incredible feeling this and being a part of what is happening.
Have you had many elemental experiences with the divas and the fairies? Have you gone that direction?
Oh, yes. I've had quite a lot of experiences with the elementals.
Can you give us some examples?
I work with crystals. Since picking up my first crystal, in 2008, I have hundreds of crystals, and each crystal has its own energy, and I call them part of the elemental kingdom because each one reacts differently, has a story for you, and can assist you in so many ways. Now, the fairies, I often see them when I'm going through woods, just like little sparkles. They're just like these energies you can see at your peripheral vision. You know they're there, and you can feel them.
Are you going to be writing about some of them in your books for children?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, that just would make sense, wouldn't it? So, Arielle, do you have any questions for Deborah or Sierra? Or I'll just turn it over to you girls, okay?
Okay.
Thank you, Deb.
Well, Deb, I was kind of was listening and visualizing, and there is an energy signature associated with your images, right?
Yes, there is.
Yeah, would you say? And I'm wondering about, is there a relationship or at least a kinship to the images that we know as crop circles? Because they also carry a signature, a frequency signature, visually.
The Arcturians. The Arcturians are the group that I work with when I'm doing my healing, and the Pleiadians. But the Arcturians are the ones that form the crop circles and precisely create these images.
So there is a kinship, a relationship between crop circles and what you do, only you've personalized it.
That's correct.
With color and form and individuality.
Yes, yes. Each person can get a personalized healing image. I've started doing soul images, which connect the person to their soul energy and allows them to access their records.
Wow, that's tremendous. That's tremendous. But I have really, I've been all through your site and looked at videos and pictures and seen everything, and you really are multi-talented. being multilingual.
Yes.
As a linguist, as an artist, you are, multi-modal. I don't know if that's a real word, but...
Well, this is why I came up with inspirational media. I'm going, how am I going to describe all of this? And it just came in, as it does, when you're trying to figure out what to put.
Uh-huh.
Well,
uh-huh.
The reason she's really speaking a language here. Hi, Deb, this is Anastasia.
Hello, Anastasia.
I also have looked at your site, and it's just wonderful. Beautiful, beautiful. I said, this is great sacred geometry. And then, of course, you rightfully use that term. But the symbols is a language. So, yeah, she's definitely speaking multiple languages here that she's channeling down from a higher frequency, because the language of these higher realms is one of symbol. Because a symbol contains many concepts. You know, with our linear language, just a straight sentence just means it's like a flat piece of paper. It has one interpretation, largely. But when we look at a symbol, it is a complex method of communication that says many things. And since we are multidimensional, this language connects with us on all of our dimensions. And I just think your work is beautiful. I wanted you to comment on your art here. I just love it. The Stairway to Consciousness. That's magnificent. With the DNA ladder, can you tell us a little bit about that? And the fiery flames of the angel, Metatron, would you tell us a little bit about that?
That was a pretty incredible vision I had. I kept getting the DNA, this DNA spiral kept coming to me in my dreams, in my waking meditations. And then I was seeing these hands holding together this DNA spiral. And I'm going, okay, this is community, all of us working together. Mankind as our base, which is the DNA. This was the largest DNA that I'd ever seen, because there were people actually climbing up this piece of DNA. And I thought, okay, so what's the largest being there could be? And I'm thinking, well, Metatron's supposed to be the largest archangel there is, or the largest energy. And as I kept putting these pieces together, his energy kept flashing in and out, but there were so many multifacets to this energy. I've worked with him and worked with this energy on many, many times, and each time there's so much more that I see to this energy. Flashes of wings, flashes of faces, facets, whichever way you want to say it. And the flames, this golden energy, it comes in when he steps into my energy. So this
wow.
was my painting to in homage of Metatron.
It's absolutely gorgeous and so authentic about those beautiful golden flames. I've seen those as well. And can I ask you, those cross pieces on their DNA, are those hands reaching out to one another? On the website, it's kind of hard to make it out. Looks like hands grasping. Is that
they
true?
They are hands. Hands
That's
holding
just beautiful.
Together. Mm-hmm.
That's just beautiful. I just absolutely love this piece. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
It's wonderful. It is so inspiring. So that is an amazing thing and very encouraging that we are all working together, and I do think it is a collective effort to raise our consciousness, and it's a wonderful, you just bring wonderful truth through with your art. And could you tell us about the praying mantis being? I was fascinated with your experience with that because I've had similar experiences. Can you share that with us?
Yes, I can. During meditation one morning, my regular group, as I like to call them, are with me, and then I felt this energy step forward from behind me on my left-hand side. Everybody went quiet, and it was like, okay, so what's going on here? So I'm focusing on this energy and tuning into this energy that's coming towards me, and it was the most beautiful wave of unconditional love that I had ever felt. And as it came closer, I could feel the physicality, and I was a little taken aback at first, and I thought, oh, this looks like a huge golden green praying mantis. It was the most beautiful color. And then I said, okay, I can feel the love coming from you. You're here for my highest and greatest good and the highest and greatest good of all. Welcome. And there was like a sigh of relief. And everything went back to normal, and he just sort of came in and joined in with the rest of the circle. He was around for about 6 months before I had a particular client come. And when she came to the door, I thought, my goodness, your hair is almost the same color as that beautiful praying mantis being that comes to me. And when I started her session, she was looking right at me. Usually people close their eyes, but she was staring right at me and almost past me. And I thought, this is going to be interesting because she's seeing what's happening. So as I started, I could feel this group consciousness walking towards me, coming into my energy. It wasn't just one. There was a group of them, and it was an amazing feeling. I worked on her. I did the healing. And then after she was done, I said to her, could you please express to me what you saw when I started this session? And she said it was a group of the most beautiful insect beings. They looked like large golden praying mantis. And as you stepped back, they stepped forward to do the work.
Well, that is just beautiful. And that has been similar to my experiences with them. They are truly magnificent. And I love that story. That's just beautiful. Isn't that
Thank
something,
you.
Ariel?
Yes. And Lavendar's had a praying mantis experience, too. I mean, moments after she was born.
Well, I'd like to hear more about that one. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, when I was born, there was one that was perched on the Wendaseal, and I had memory of it, and I was very disturbed because all the babies were crying in the nursery, and I couldn't sleep, and I looked up and saw this praying mantis, and then all of a sudden, he, she, whatever it was, just kind of put a calming on all the kids to shut up crying. I was so relieved.
Wow. This is a major guide that saw you in.
Yeah.
That's remarkable. And Deb, you have a name for them? What species this is?
Well, you know, they come and go through several different species. You know, they're like loaned out. So they don't really belong to, you know, to any one particular group because they've been around for so very, very long time.
Very,
that's
very
correct.
Ancient.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would say probably if I were really trying to think about when I first started hearing, I think they probably came from Lyra, you know, from the headquarters of all the genetic experiments, you know. Mm-hmm. Probably from Lyra.
His name, the one that I work with, is Chromaidaosh. I think that's about as close as I can get to it.
and did the praying mantis leave with that client?
No, there was one that was with her, and he left with her. But she had one that kept guard over her. Kept guard over her is what I got when I was working with her. So a very strong guide.
Yeah, I saw that too. Okay, go ahead, girls.
Okay. Well, Sierra, I'm going to turn this over to you. Do you have questions or comments for Deb?
Well, I've just so enjoyed what you've been speaking about. I think I'm going to be actually seeing if you can do a portrait for me. But I, too, have had, you know, interactions with the mantis bees, and they just really are lovely. You know, you would think that consciously you might freak out a little bit seeing a giant, you know, insect walking around, but they're just such full of such love and compassion that it just kind of disarms your fear and such. So yeah, I've just enjoyed, you know, being a part of this conversation and the information that you've been putting out today. Thank you so much for what you're doing.
Thank you.
Well, you know, I was thinking when you were talking about Dylan's Roots.
Yes.
Is that the name of the children's inspirational book?
Dylan's Roots and Dylan's Adventures to the Crystal City.
Well, I just saw today someone emailed me a news item about the scientists now think that the core of the Earth is much more crystalline than they originally thought. The percentage of silicon at the Earth's core is much higher than they ever thought it was. I don't know how they came up with that, and I kind of only glanced briefly, but it really struck a note with me when you told Dylan to have the roots from his feet go down to the crystal core of the Earth. So yeah, I was like, oh, that matches up with something that I just read today. So it's like the third dimension and the other dimensions meeting somewhere in the middle. And I do know that silicon is the second most abundant element on this planet.
Yes, it is.
So I just love that visual, though, especially for children and any listeners out there who do have starseed children. All the handbooks ever written on raising kids kind of don't apply. And
not.
You know, are not quite as much help as they were, you know, when you were a kid. But so I think that having books for children that let them know that it's okay, that there's nothing wrong with them, and all of the inspirational seeds that you're planting with these books, I just think it's wonderful. And I think that listeners with children ought to take a look and see what would be right for their children. And I just think it's wonderful that you're doing that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Your painting of the crystal grid is gorgeous. And as you work with these children, you know, and as parents incorporate this into their teaching their children, it's really going to help the kids that feel like they're strange, they don't belong here, they're shut down in the kind of programming they get in school, and that they don't fit in. And, of course, we use chemicals to try to force them to fit in. Totally the wrong approach. Couldn't be worse. It's just abusive what we do to kids today to make them conform and to be mediocre, mm-hmm. when, in fact, we need to be teaching our children spiritual science, spiritual art, and to appreciate their tremendous gifts. These new children coming in are light beings of a high caliber and can connect, and their only problem is finding something in this world to be interested in and a reason to be here, because it's not a pleasant place for their kinds of energies. They're not fitting in.
Well,
and
that's right. When you consider consider all that energy, that huge knowledge, trying to fit into that little tiny baby, and then trying to expand as this child is growing, it's almost too much energy for that child to hold. That's where the extra energy comes in, where a lot of them are being dubbed as attention deficit hyperactivity, because they have this huge vibrational frequency trying to fit into this little tiny body.
I've talked to a few people recently, and either they or their children have been labeled as, you know, attention deficit disorder, and I've just it really kind of gets me going, because it's so wrong, and it's like, oh no, but it's true. You know, I can't focus on one thing for very long, but I can do 8 things at once. I think anybody that can do 8 things at once has not got an attention focus problem. You know, some people are lucky if they can do one thing at one time. So, but it's a matter of perception, isn't it, Deb?
Yes, it is, definitely. It's the same as when people say, you know, I'm bipolar. Well, good for you. And they say, pardon? Well, it means both sides of your brain are working exactly as they should be.
Right. And it's the switching back and forth that maybe throws them off balance, because they are not really seasoned enough.
That's right.
At switching back and forth. But these are all growing pains, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Well, it seems to me that when we awaken as a species, it's going to be so shocking to see that reality is so upside down from what we assume it to be. And things are just the opposite often of what we're told. And it's going to be quite a jolt. Not for those of us that are preparing, we'll be surprised enough. But for the planet at large, it's just the opposite so often of what we're told and taught and believe. Our limited perceptions are so very, very tiny. And with your work, Deb, you open people up on an unconscious level, which is the engine of our manifesting abilities. It's often the engine of our behavior. Working with the subconscious mind, your art touches upon a cleansing and purification, and opening the way for people to let those beautiful, subtle energies in and not to constantly resist. It all starts with the unconscious, after energy, of course. But those two work hand in hand, wouldn't you say?
Yes,
energy
they do,
and
most
unconscious.
Definitely. Yes, most definitely.
Well, we have a caller on the switchboard right now, and this may be a question that we'll just throw out for anybody, either Deb or Anastasia, if you have a comment to make, or, you know, Lavender C or anybody. We are going to talk to, let me get the switchboard microphone open. Oh, come on. I click, I wait, I click, I wait. and we're trying to open up a microphone here for Prim, and we're going to get to that. I'm just having to click and click, and nothing is happening. Well, let me try to refresh this again, and we'll see if that will come online. The button is kind of stuck there. So let me just try again and see if I can get this to work. You know, those solar flares we were talking about earlier can't just find their way into the oddest places. And, oh, well, I guess she was not on the line, so that's how come the mic wouldn't open up. That was a caller that was on for quite some time, so I guess she had to go. So never mind about that.
Would it be all right if I ask Deb a question here while
absolutely.
We're waiting? Uh-huh. Well, Deb, now you seem to be so comfortable with all your gifts, talents, and all the channeling that you do, and you're so receptive. You're a very receptive vessel to all these beautiful energies and guidance. And how long have you been doing this? Did I miss that? Maybe Lavender asked you. I might not have heard it.
Actually, I've only been doing this starseed work since 2008.
And had you drawn or painted before that?
Lots of drawings, lots of paintings. It was all earth, nature, animals. It was all beautiful things that inspired from things around me.
Mm-hmm.
But it was after, say, January 2008, Grand Tetons, I guess, that flicked a switch. And once I stepped into it, it was no holding it back. I mean,
wow.
I've had everything placed before me. The healing courses, learning how to do the videos.
Well, this is a wonderful demonstration of a soul that's doing its work, and that's just a wonderful thing. I love to see that. But as a child, were you intuitive? I mean, tell us a little bit about that. So how did you come into your channeling and working with spirit? How did that evolve with you?
Well, I can remember when I was a little girl, three. My mum used to say that I had a vivid imagination and not to worry if I told everybody that I had an imaginary friend. My imaginary friend's name was Angela. Well, what else would you call a great big angel that's with you all the time? I would be able to pick on people's emotions. I'd be able to tell how people were feeling when I walked into a room. There were certain houses that I refused to go in because I could pick up negative energies. Walking to school one day, I can remember walking behind this lady. She had a young child in one hand and pushing a stroller over the other, and she's yanking on the child and yelling at the one. And I can remember thinking to myself, oh, I'm glad you're not my mother. And she turned around, she looked at me, she said, what did you say? I didn't say anything. So that was the beginnings of knowing that there was a little more to.
Well, that's what you got to be careful what you're thinking then.
Yes.
Wow.
Very telepathic.
Definitely.
Well, we have another caller, and we are going to be talking to Lori here in just a second. Lori, let me get your mic open. And there we go. You're on the air, Lori. Welcome.
Hello, how is everybody?
We're doing good. Nice to hear from you again, sweetie.
Yes, it's so amazing. I told Richard, I says, Arcturians are coming out of the woodwork here. Well, what happened is a few days ago, I was in contact with Arcturians, and I believe they're on my team, but I know that that's in that's where I came from. And it's so amazing because they told me that I would be able to feel an energy. Well, what happened was I was feeling an energy in my body, and I said, what is this? And it was them. And they said that you will feel us whenever we're around. And I'm sitting here looking at your artwork, and I'm feeling like they're here.
Wow.
And yesterday I felt like they were here, and with everything that's going on, you know, out there in the 3D with everything, I didn't feel them today until now. But anyway, I just thought that was so interesting that all of a sudden everything I'm involved with, you know, listening to shows or whatever, there's Arcturians. And one of the things, I had a question for Deb. The one that you have, it's gold, and it's a triangle with an eye in the center with 333, and you said that's the sign of the Arcturians. Is that right?
That's what I was getting at that time. The eye in the triangle is what I see on the palms of my hands when I'm working.
Oh, wow.
So I had somebody else say that exact thing to me, too. When I was working on them, when I raised my hands, they looked at me, and they said, you've got these triangles with these eyes. And I kind of went, okay, because at the time I was thinking that's an Illuminati sign, and then I did some more research and went, oh, dear, they just stole it from the Arcturians.
Well, they hijack everything, don't they? What about the 333? What's the significance of that for you?
That seems to be a very strong harmonic vibration with Archangel Metatron when he comes in. With me, at least.
Wow. That's very interesting because a 2009, I became a reconnective healing practitioner, and the vibration of the reconnection is 333, and that's what everyone charges to have someone have a reconnection is 333. And so I thought, wow, that's quite interesting.
Well, there is, I mean, the numbers carry frequency, color, light, sound. Everything is about frequency. So, and I know that even if you break it down, because three is the strongest geometric figure, and if you have three threes, there's a substantial strength there, at least in from a numerological standpoint.
Right. Well, I just find it fascinating that, you know, in 2009 I wasn't the same person I am now, and that 333 has followed me to this realization of being Arcturian and having that be in her artwork. I just thought that was quite interesting.
Well,
synchronicity.
That's right. As Lavendar says, synchronicity is confirmation.
Yeah.
Right. That's no coincidence.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's right. Well, great, Lori. Do you have any other questions?
I do not. Thank you so much. This has been a wonderful show.
Well, thanks so much for calling in. It's always good to hear your voice.
You too. Thanks a lot.
Okay, Lori. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, well, we have another caller with a question, and we are going to talk to Roger. Hello, Roger. You're on the air.
Yeah, hello. I just got some information from the beings upstairs, and they told me something about diamond healing and diamond technology, and I guess these diamonds have a real high frequency, and if you hold them in your hand and meditate on them, you can go other places, and also if you use them properly, you can tap into these other realms and access these energies to heal yourself. Have you ever heard of this kind of thing or this type of thing or...
There are many crystals. Herkimer diamonds. Herkimer diamond is the one that I find that does that for me, and is a great assistance in what I do in my work.
Yeah, I hear they're good for opening portals to other places and kind of like bathing in their energies, and it can help heal you. And also, you can meditate on these diamonds, and it will take you interdimensionally other places because these diamonds open wormholes. And I was told that this technology was known a long time ago, but it's kind of been forgotten. This was the real value of diamonds. We just placed a monetary value on them.
That's correct. I create interdimensional portals when I work, and different places that I go to, I open them up specifically and leave crystals behind.
Yeah. And I was also told that there are people coming into the world right now called diamond people. I guess they have they're beyond the crystalline structure, and you could seek these people out, and these particular people would have the proper frequency, and they could practice this diamond healing. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
I have not, but I'm sure that there's someone that is much more knowledgeable about it than I am. Although I have to say that the diamond has another significance as a geometric form. And the diamond is the symbol for Athena. So that's another thing to put out there in connection with the diamond is it can also represent a geometrical form as well. But yeah, they are amazing crystals, and certainly not intended to just adorn with jewelry.
Yeah, but it's kind of funny. I think if our scientists knew the value of these diamonds, they'd probably use them in their time travel and their interdimensional travels if they could, you know, so if they only knew the value of them.
Roger, when you asked that question about the diamond healing, I was instantly taken back to Atlantis with the crystal energies and crystal healing of Atlantis. So this is indeed a very ancient method of healing.
Yeah. Yeah, what I think is Atlantis existed, and back then, see, this is a fallen world. not only were the energies different, but the physics were different too. And now that the energies are starting to come back, some of these old knowledges are coming back to us, and now we can start to access these other things which we couldn't do before.
That's right.
So that's what's kind of happening and with these healing technologies and stuff like that. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Roger. So, you know, and that is true. We really have kind of come full circle. And there are a lot of Atlanteans back. I mean, when I'm working with charts every day, I'm seeing such a great number of people that have the marks of Atlantis on their charts. And it completely goes with the times, because we are now facing an imbalance between science and spirit, just like back then.
Same scenario.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And so these Atlanteans are back, and a lot of them are working with crystals. They are retrieving the crystals that they that other members of their bloodline coded and hid for their return, and now they're back. And it really is about balancing science and spirit, as well as balancing divine feminine, divine masculine. It is all about balance and the correct use of power. Those are the Atlanteans' focus, as I'm seeing on their chart.
Yes, I believe Lavender said it well the other day. Never again Atlantis.
Right. That is the code, and when I see that mark on someone's chart, that is what I tell them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, it really is so important, because we could easily make the same mistake again if it weren't for all the starseed that are here now, and they know better, and working, as I said at the beginning of the program, you know, if there's 4.6 million a day, then that's times 7 would be, you know, 28, 30 million, and then you add on the extra days, you're looking at the numbers of us that there are. We're not such a tiny, isolated minority, and especially with the Internet, there is a global community. I mean, just on our forum alone, We have people from all over the world. It really is global connection, not only in our forum, but other people's forums and all the different social forums on the Internet available. There's just a massive gathering that was programmed to happen at this time to make sure that we get to the higher frequencies without too many bumps and bruises.
With grace and ease.
With grace and ease. I love that phrase. Absolutely. Well, I'm going to go through the switchboard here and see if we have anybody else that has a question or comment for any of our hosts or guests. Please press 1 on your keypad so that we know you have a question or you'd like to come on the air to discuss something. And if I will say last call for questions and comments, and if we don't have any more people with questions or comments, any closing remarks from either you, Deb, or any of our hosts? Okay, well, we must have done a really good job. And I have to say, I love your artwork, Deb, and it has been a pleasure having you with us on the show. And I do encourage everyone to go to BluRayHealing.com and check out Hands of Angels on YouTube. I've seen Deb's videos, and they're spellbinding. Once they start, you can't look away. There is really some heavy duty coding that's going on in those videos, and it really has come from the otherware, as Lavender calls it. And we appreciate your expertise and willingness to be a conduit for that energy and for the beautiful artwork.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for inviting me. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, and the pleasure is ours as well.
And so beautiful energy, Deb.
Thank you.
The Tetons.
Yes, see you there.
See you at the Tetons, that's right. Well, everyone, we want to thank you so much for listening. Special thanks to Deborah Graves for being with us this evening. And as always, thank you to Chris and Rose and Sahar for the work that they do behind the scenes. And from Sierra, Anastasia, myself, and Lavendar, until next week, this is Starseed Radio Academy, and we'll have more news next week. Thank you so much, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.